He entered into a ship, the he being Jesus, and passed over and came into his own city. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, paralyzed, stuck in neutral, ain't going nowhere, not going forward, not going backward, not getting any better, not getting any worse, don't go anywhere unless he's carried, sick of the palsy, paralyzed. Hello. Lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. Notice he said unto the sick of the palsy. Verse 3, and behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, This man blasphemeth. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, Wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? For whether it is easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise and walk. But that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. Then saith he to the sick of the palsy, Arise, take up thy bed, and go into thine house. Now notice what this being said here, that these people marveled. I'll read verse 8. But when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, which had given such power unto men. Now, if you remember what we just read, Jesus said, Be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. Then he said, Do you think it's, which is easier, to say thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say arise and walk? So then he said to the man, Arise and walk, and the man arose and walked. Now in verse 8, when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, which had given such power unto men. Now notice it doesn't say unto his children, unto Christians, unto good guys, unto men, period. Now, tonight's message is going to deal with two things. First of all, the power that God gives and who he gives it to. Now, when we describe the power, you'll know right away whether you gots it or not. And if you don't gots it, then I'm going to tell you why, because he gave it unto men. Do we have any seat belts in the pews, by the way? Let's deal with the word power, because this word says that God gave power, this power, unto men. So there's nothing more for God to do. You might as well not even wait for him. He's already given it to you. The problem is it's mailed and addressed unto men. The first definition of the word power is privilege. The word power means privilege, which means immunity specially granted to you and withheld from others. It's a special favor. It's a special advantage. In other words, you don't deserve it. So you can stop trying to figure out how good you are to get it or how bad you are as a reason for not having it. And no matter how good you are, that's not going to get it. And no matter how bad you are, that's not going to lose it. So you can forgive it. You can forget it. It's a privilege. Often wondered why I always thank God for the privilege, the honor, and the opportunity for preaching his word. And now I know. It's a special favor granted to one and withheld from others. Got it? Okay. Favor and advantage. In other words, I don't deserve this. I don't deserve to be standing up here and speaking this. And you certainly don't deserve to be sitting there and hearing it. Now, the next word, so you've got that power. Now, some of you fight the power, but I've got it. Even if you don't like it, I've got it. Power also means ability. So you have immunity, and now power means ability. Ability means the skill and the talent to do something, mental or physical, that's required. So I don't care what your job is. I don't care what your task is. I don't care married, unmarried, whatever yours is before you. You have the ability. God said so. But he gave it only to men. You also have force. Power means force. Force means moral or intellectual strength. Don't give me that routine that I don't know if I can do that or not. You have the moral or intellectual strength. God already gave it. But he gave it only unto men. Force also means power to persuade. So you have the power to persuade others, then you have the power to persuade yourself. If you have the power to persuade yourself, then you have the power to be persuaded. So don't give me that, I don't understand routine. More accurately is I don't want to know. because he gave this power unto men only. Power also means capacity. Capacity means the power of receiving and holding knowledge. You already have the ability to receive everything that's said here and hold that knowledge, by the way. It amazes me how many times we have to talk over the same thing over and over and over again. And every time we talk about it, you give me the, wow, now I got it. Yeah, well, I heard that song before. Play it again, Sam, and again and again and again. You already have the capacity to receive and hold the knowledge. Don't give me that I forgot routine. Well, what's the problem? He gave this power unto man. So see, every time you tell me you can't receive it and can't hold it, what you're doing is you're telling me you're not a man. Or you're not a man. I don't want to give too much away here, guys. Don't get too uppity here, because you're going to be shot down in here in a minute. Power also means competency. Competency means to be legally qualified, capable, fit, and sufficient. In other words, no excuse for not doing what you're called to do. If you're a husband and a father and you say you can't, you're not fit, you don't know how, you're lying. The problem is, he gave it unto men. Power also means freedom. And freedom means exemption from arbitrary power. No reason to be addicted to anything. Arbitrary power is power that doesn't ask you what you think, doesn't care what you want. It enforces itself, which is not Jesus. How could Jesus give you freedom from arbitrary power and then be arbitrary toward you? See, some of you are waiting for Jesus to come down and slap your vices and your habits upside the head and throw them out. That would be arbitrary power. And you can't have freedom if you're subject to arbitrary power. So see, you're exempt from arbitrary power. You're exempt from obligation. It means you don't owe anybody anything. Nobody, nothing. You're free. Freedom also means exemption from discomfort. I don't want to hear about your aches and pains, not because I don't want to hear about them. I just don't like hearing them. Now, understand what I'm saying here. This doesn't mean don't tell me. I just don't like hearing it, because it means you've got discomfort. And I don't like the fact that you've got discomfort. Now, that doesn't mean I don't want to hear about it. It just means I don't like the fact that you have it to tell about, because you're exempt from obligation. You're exempt from discomfort. But this power was given unto men. Freedom also means to be able to choose or to determine action freely. No more, I couldn't help it, I didn't want to, but I did anyway. This freedom was given unto men. Power also means mastery. And mastery means to have a victory in the struggle. That's why our church is named Victory. Power also means jurisdiction. Jurisdiction means the authority or legal power to hear and decide cases. In other words, you have the power to hear what I'm saying and make a decision. But this power was given unto men. Power also means liberty. And liberty means freedom or release from arbitrary control. So again, no reason for habits, culture, temperament, anything that makes you do something, there's no reason for it. Other than this power was given unto men. Power means authority. And authority means the power or right to give commands, enforce obedience, take action, and make final decisions. In other words, there's no reason for procrastination. There's no reason for wilderness wandering. If you were a slob before you started, and you're a slob now, it's because this power was given unto men. If you had bad temper before and you still got it, this power was given unto men. Whatever problem you still have that you say you don't want, the problem is you don't have the power. The problem is the power was given unto men. Power also means liberty. You get the problem. You get the ability to make the final decisions. And then the last definition of the word right or power is to be right. See, this power is already given unto men. Now, if you think about what I've said, if you had and exercised all this power, you wouldn't have one single problem, not one, that you wouldn't have the answer for. I never said you wouldn't have any problems. See, people think Christianity and victorious living is to have no problems. No, that's called death. You want us to bury you, you'll have no problems then. No, Christian living is to have the answer for the problems. But you go in the tank, you go in the toilet because you have a problem. The minute something comes up, you look for Santa Flush, liquid plumber, anything. You're going in the toilet because you think there's something wrong because you have a problem. No, there's something wrong because you don't have the answer. Man, this world is full of problems. I just happen to have the answer for them. That's all. So you see, to be right, to have this power, means you have the ability to deal with things. What good are you as a preacher, a pastor, a husband, a wife, a friend, a shepherd, if you're no good unless there's no problems? I'd like to apply for a job of shepherd, as long as there's no wolves anywhere. Can't be no predators nowhere. I don't want the job. As long as all the sheep have their own compass and their own map. Well, what do we need you for then, my friend? See, the reason you need that job is because that family has some problems and you're supposed to have the answers. You think that you're going to be right when there's no more problems. You've got a long wait. You have the power, the power to be right. And right means to be in order, to be in accordance with justice, law, and morality. To be in accordance with the facts, the reasons, and the set standard. In other words, you can deal with what's in front of you. You have the power. You have the right. And here's the last part of the definition of power. It means the ability to be correct in thought, statement, and action. In other words, metamorphosis. Remember what we talked about? The ability to reverse another's decision. The ability to think right. Remember it meant think differently, talk differently, and then act differently. Remember that message? We're not through with it yet. The ability to be correct in thought, statement, and action. God gave this power unto men. Now understand what this means. You have the ability, the right already as you sit there, if you're a man, to be correct in thought, statement, and action. Now, again, don't get ahead of me. Being correct in thought and action doesn't mean you say everything right. Correct means to change something from wrong to right, or to remove the errors from us when you correct the test. You mark what's wrong and mark what's right, and then you remove the errors. See, when you correct a test, you take the wrong answers and you write the right ones in. When you grade a test, you just say right, wrong, right, wrong, right, wrong. But the kid or whoever gets the test says, well, I know that's wrong, but what's the right answer? That's not the way God is. He corrects. See, you punish your child, say, that's wrong. Okay, what's right? Then you're not correcting your children. All you have to do is when your child brings a test home from school, if it just has X's for the wrong answers, all that child has learned is what's wrong. They don't know what's right. That's a lazy teacher. That's a worthless teacher. That's a worthless shepherd. All you guys do is correct, correct. Or no, what you do is you grade. You're no good. You did this wrong. Why don't you do that? You ought to do that. You never tell them how. You never tell them what. See, God says you have the right to correct. You have the right to change wrong to right. You have the power to remove errors from. That's what this power means. The problem is it was given unto men. So now you have the right to, or the power to remove wrong and errors from thought. Thought means your reasoning, your opinion, your intention, and your expectation. So you have the right to correct them. So what does that mean? It means they're wrong. You got to understand when you come in here, your opinion, your reasoning, your expectation, and your intention is wrong. Your thoughts are wrong. So see, you're here to get them corrected. To tell you not only which ones are wrong, but what you ought to put, what to give you the right answer. And that's why some of you men don't like it. Because this was given only unto men. Ladies, don't get too comfortable now. You know, I don't know better. You've been in this church long enough. And I said, oh, thank God, this is for the guys. You also have the power to be correct in statement. Statement means to set forth in words what you express. So you have the power to change what you say from wrong to right and to remove the errors from it. You also have the power to be correct in action. And action means your behavior and your habitual conduct. Now, the bottom line is, if all this is true, then why don't you have it? You see, I racked my brain over this and I said, they marvel and glorify God which had given such power unto men. It's not conditional. Christ hadn't even gone to Calvary yet. And he didn't say to Christians or to the nation of Israel. He said he had given such power unto men. Now, if God gave it, then it has to be given. The problem is, and I said, well, I don't understand this. He gave it unto men, and yet it's obvious that not all have it. So maybe not all are not men. Now, I thought, well, if he gave it to men only, then all men would have it, unless all men are not all men. So naturally, you know what's coming? I looked up the word men, and lo and behold, it does not mean a male. It means a human being. It's the Greek word for a human being. He gave all this power unto human beings. Well, I said, now, if he gave this power to human beings, then you all must not be human beings, or you would have the power. And I said, now, wait a minute, Lord. Let's get serious here. I know I have referred to the congregation as animals, and I've given them some glowing examples of how they eat, how they think, and how they talk, and it does correlate very closely to animals. We have sloths in here that move very slowly. They like to hang upside down. They do everything upside down. We've got a lot of animals here. See, because all people don't have this power, but God said he gave it to them. All human beings have been given this power. It's for human beings only. So the obvious question is, are you a human being? Now, if you don't have this power that I've just outlined, then obviously you are not a human being. So then the next question is, what is a human being? How many people in this room know? How many people more than me in this room know what a human being is? Good. I'm glad you're honest. Do you understand what I'm trying to tell you? You've been living with someone all this time, and you thought they were human beings. I'm going to tell you what human being means. And when you understand that God said, I only gave it to human beings, you will see why you don't have it. Number one, it's two things. Human is one, and a being is the other. You can't be just human, and you can't just be a being. You have to be a human being, or you don't get this. Now, first of all, let's see if you're having, if you are a human. Let's just see if you're human. Now, the word human comes basically from the word homage, which is where we get the word homo in homo sapiens, which really means mankind. So, to begin with, we'll deal with homage in a minute. The first definition of the word human, it means someone who has and shows the qualities of rationality and fallibility. You might be Pipple. You might be a Pipple, but you are not a human if you're not rational and fallible. If you don't understand that as a human being, you must have those two qualities. You must be rational, and you must understand you are fallible. Now, that means you've got to burn all your robes, all your incense burners, all that stuff, those things, those domino fabiscum things, throw them away. You're fallible. I came from a church many years ago that taught that there was a head of the church who was infallible. You see, if you're infallible, you're not a human being. Now, where did he get this power if God only gave it to human beings? In other words, when you lose your rational mind, when you get emotional, you cease to be a human being. You've lost the power. Also, when we talk, when I preach to you or we counsel and you can't see that you're fallible, that you're wrong, you're not human. So therefore, this power isn't for you. So first of all, it takes two qualities to be a human. You must understand first, you must be rational. If you're not rational, you're not human. And rational or rationality means to base things on reasoning. It means to be able to reason, to be in possession of one's reason. It means to show reason, to be not foolish or silly, but sensible. In other words, the rational individual bases everything on reasoning, not emotion, not anger, not criticism, not judgment, on reason. The human never gets emotional. I'm going to say that again. Never gets emotional. If you do, you cease to be human. Now, the minute you cease to be human, this power that God has given unto humans, you don't have access to it anymore. Now, if you think back in your life, every stupid mistake you've ever made and everything you said you're sorry for that you meant, you did it when you were emotional. You weren't thinking rationally. You weren't in possession of your sanity. You weren't sensible. You were foolish and silly, which is all the opposite of rationality. See, the human is able to reason. Reason means to have the ability to think, not feel. Animals feel. Humans think. So you see, whenever you go to feelings in order to resolve a problem, you've lost your humanity. The minute you lose your humanity, you lose your power. And the minute you lose your power, you're dead meat. Because God says this is given unto humans. Now, what are you given? The power to reason. Reason means the ability to think, form judgments, and draw conclusions. In other words, in order to do that, you've got to be able to receive facts and opinions and other ideas other than your own stupid, stale, worn out things that we know don't work because we can see what a mess your life is. Reason also means the ability to think coherently and logically. No screaming, no hollering, no pure logic. Coherent, logical thinking. That's the quality of a human. Now, the minute you let circumstances get you to start talking emotionally, you'll start talking incoherently and illogically. And then it takes someone blessed as I am, thank God, to be able to see that you're incoherent and illogical. And therefore, you become an animal. And whenever you do that, you lose your power. At that point, the balance of the battle switches, and you start losing, and your past starts winning. Now, I'm going to tell you something. There was a battle going on during the wilderness trek. And Moses, who was the spiritual head appointed by God, stood over the battle on a pulpit, a hill, looking at the battle, looking at all the people fighting. And there it is. You're fighting something in you and you and you and everybody. You're all fighting. The wrong in you is, and I see the battle. And it says, as long as Moses had his hands up, the people prevailed. As soon as Moses didn't get any support, he's tired. He's a human being. He just got tired and his hands went down. Then everybody started, the nation started losing. Two of the men went up and grabbed him by, helped him hold his hands up. They supported the man that God put in front of them. So the minute they supported him, they won the battle. You can't just sit there and expect me to do it all. I need help. I'm just a human being, just like you. In fact, no, I'll say it. I'm a human being, you're not. I can't do this by myself. This fight that's going on down there, I can only overlook it, and I can only judge one way or the other. But man, there's an end to my strength. I need, this is a team effort. So I thank God whenever men will come to my support. Not, it's not my support, it's so that the battle can be won there, because every time Moses said, hey, I'm tired, says this battle went on for hours and hours and days. I mean, how long can you stand there like this? I mean, if nothing else, I won't even go into that one. So you see, this ability to reason, to think coherently and logically, is a two-way street. Reason means, or having, being rational means having the ability to talk in a logical way. See, people may not, see, I don't care whether people agree as long as they understand. And you can't help understanding it if it's logical. And I know you understand it because it makes you mad. Or it makes you glad. Now, how could something you don't understand do that to you? I can understand, huh? But what does he think? Well, I know you understand it. You don't like it, but you understand it. Reason, being able to reason means to think something out systematically, to analyze it, and then to support and justify things with reason. Now, in other words, the person who has, maintains, and uses those qualities is a human. That's half the battle of having this power from God. Do you understand? Ever since you walked into this church, I have been preaching against emotionality. I'm finally starting to realize just how, I knew it was wrong. I never realized how wrong. But everything I preach, it always confirms. You all have tapes from years back. I defy one of you. Read, go through every tapes. There's hundreds of them. I defy you to find one single statement that contradicts another. And there are thousands, literally thousands of statements. Hundreds of messages dating back 7 years. And you'll never find one thing that contradicts what I say today. Never. Now, who could possibly be that smart? Jesus Christ. Certainly not me. I'd have to have the Library of Congress behind me to record what I said and then scan it back and make sure if what I'm going to say today isn't contradicting something I said before. I don't care because it's not me talking. And Jesus never makes a mistake. Look up the tapes. They date back for years. See, he thinks logically and systematically, and he supports everything with reason, and he justifies everything with reason. I don't care how much fault you try to find. There is no fault in Jesus. The original and only no-fault insurance. See, he justifies everything with reason. Now, the minute an individual starts thinking that way and sees the attractiveness, the benefit of it, you start being a human. Man, you're halfway to this power. But wait a minute. Not only do you have to be able to reason, be rational, but you also have to have the quality of fallibility. Fallibility comes from the word fallible. Now, this is what it takes for you to be a human so that we can try to convince you to be a being. Fallible means liable to be mistaken or deceived. Liable to be erroneous or inaccurate. Now, what does liable mean? Likely to suffer from being mistaken, erroneous, inaccurate, or deceived. Likely to suffer from being erroneous, inaccurate, or deceived, mistaken. It means, liable means to be exposed to being mistaken, erroneous, accurate, and deceived. Liable also means to be subject to being mistaken, erroneous, inaccurate, and deceived. So you see, the individual who's a human understands, first of all, he thinks or she thinks rationally, does everything with reason, but also understands that they, as a human, are liable, likely to be wrong, likely to be erroneous, likely to be mistaken. How many times do I sit and talk with people and say, nope, that couldn't have happened? You're not very fallible, are you? I didn't say it did. I said it's very likely you're wrong. That's what fallibility means. You have to accept the premise that you're fallible. You have to accept the premise that you're likely to be wrong, erroneous, inaccurate, and deceived. You see, you think because you believe it that it has to be true. Well, you're the biggest liar you've ever met. I know I'm the biggest liar I've ever known. Now, some of you folks lie like a rug, but I know somebody has lied to me more than anybody else, and that's me. And you lie like a cheap rug, by the way. And nothing worse than a cheap rug. It lumps here and it does funny things. You lie like a rug, folks. And you are by far the biggest liar that you know. All of us individually, because see, I've lied, I've been around me, I've had more opportunity, I have more reason to lie to me. So you see, this fallibility is the likelihood, the liability that we have to be wrong. And not only to be wrong, that's bad enough, but to ultimately believe our mistakes, to believe our error as being, to be deceived by our own error. See, that's, he says, if you want this power, you have to start, number one, by being rational. In other words, if you don't, if you get emotional on me, you're not going to hear this. You're going to lose your reason. You're going to lose your temperament. That's why he said, let's be rational first before I tell you, you're likely to be wrong. Oh, I love this man. Such a guy. And he's cool, you know that? So he says, now, if, in order for you to be to accept this power, you have to qualify. You got to be human. You have to be rational, and you have to accept the fact that you're fallible. Now, once you accept both of those things, you're rational. You say, all right, give me some reasons. I'm not going to get upset. I'm not going to start getting angry or hurt or judgmental. Just give me reasons. And also understand I'm very likely to be wrong. I'm very likely to be deceived because my life's a mess. Well, now we got this. Now we got this rationality and fallibility. You lack only one thing to be human now. Homage. That's where the word human comes from. And homage means an act that shows the relationship between a lord and a vassal. In other words, you do no homage until you understand the relationship and show the relationship between a lord and a vassal. Me be lord, you be vassal. Now, you say, oh, he's really gone off his rocker. No, I am the Lord. But see, we have a Lord of lords and a King of kings. As I've said before, he's not the Lord of wimps, and he's not the Lord of weaklings, and he's not the Lord of flatterers. He's the Lord of lords. Now, if you don't understand what the word Lord means, I can tell you a lot about how things go at your home. Because you see, you have to know what a Lord is, what the word means. See, you've been taught that Lord means Jesus Christ. No. Lord is a title that has a function. It can be Jesus Christ, and it is, but it's not Jesus Christ only. He is the Lord of lords. Now, let me tell you what Lord means. It comes from a word, German word, Lofwarden. And basically, Lofwarden means loaf warden, or keeper of the loaf. In other words, somebody that keeps the loaf. You know what a loaf is? Bread. You know what bread is? Manna. You know what manna is? Jesus. You know what Jesus is? The word. Who's the keeper of the loaf in this church? I be it. Who's the keeper of the loaf at home? Guys, you be it. So see, the problem is that there's no Lord of lords in your house because there's no Lord. There's no keeper of the loaf. You be the keeper of the Twinkies and the keeper of the, you know, of the sugar and the cakes and the candy. You don't be the keeper of the bread. Now, what does Lord mean? Keeper of the loaf. Lord means one who feeds dependents. In other words, it's a person who feeds dependents. Now, you know who feeds the dependents at home. We even call them the breadwinner. So if you feed dependents, if you bring home money, if you go out and work and bring home money and provide a house, provide clothing, provide clothes for someone other than yourself, then you feed dependents. That makes you a lord. Your problem is you have no lord. Lord? You need a Lord of lords. So you see, the individual who feeds dependents is the Lord. Now, the dependents, the ones who get fed, are the vassals. Now, Lord means, besides one who feeds dependents, means a person who has great power and great authority. Now, you know why you don't have great power and authority at home? Because you don't feed the dependents. You eat them. You see, you can have power in your home as the Lord. Now, I know you rule the living room with an iron fist. That TV set is your boss. The master has arrived. Oh, now we got to watch Sesame Street. Dad's home. Big Turkey. He wants to see Big Turkey. See, the Lord is the one who has master and authority. But man, there's more than one room in the house. More than one room in the house. More than one room in the house. One of these days, I'm going to start a class just for married people. Or those who think they want to be. And better know what they're getting into before they do it. Because then I can talk more graphically and more specifically. The fact of the matter is that you need two things in order to have a proper relationship at home. You need a lord and you need some vassals. See, in your home, one problem, too many chiefs and no Indians. Why? Because at church, you want everybody to be a chief, and there's no Indians. See, we need a lord and some vassals or this thing's not going to work. You can't be a human being unless you know the difference between a lord and a vassal. Now, a lord is the loaf keeper, the one who feeds dependents, someone who has greater power and authority, and vassal means a subordinate. It means a servant. It means a dependent. Now, what does that mean? That means I'm the lord because I feed the dependents. That means you're subordinate to me. That means you are my servant. You are my dependent. You got to understand that so that you can get this. I am the Lord, and you are the dependents. Got that straight? Now let's deal with Reuben. Now you become the Lord, and I'm the servant, and I'm the dependent. I couldn't make a living without you. I'd have to go out and get a full-time job. I couldn't study. I couldn't counsel. I couldn't do anything. I'm dependent on you. I couldn't do this by myself. There's no way. I depend on you. How could I come up with these messages with all these neat answers if you guys wouldn't be such big jerks, such big honest jerks, and tell me all the questions? You want to go back to another church where the pastor doesn't know a thing about anybody, so he preaches a lot of nice messages that don't mean diddly to anybody. Do you understand what I'm trying to tell you? I am totally dependent on you. I am your servant. I'm your vassal. Without you giving me the questions, what am I going to preach on? You think I just go home and say, well, I think I'll preach on such and such because it seems like a nice day for that. And then we come here and miraculously it's exactly what you needed to hear? No. I have to have faith in God that he's going to speak through you to me to tell me what's wrong. And you have to have faith in God that he's going to speak to you through me to tell you what to do about it. I need you every bit as much as you need me. This is a partnership. I am your subordinate. I come at your beck and call. You call me. If I'm there, I'll drop what I'm doing. Unless I got somebody else. It's dibs. We play dibs in this church. First come, first serve. So you see, this relationship, I have to establish what it is, but it isn't one-sided. Because then when it comes time to turn it around and say, well, Ruby likes some answers. What are the questions? Well, I don't know, Lord. Well, you better get some vaseline down here, boy, and go find out. You better go to these people that you're subordinate to. You better have them use you, man. Serve them. Find out what's wrong. I become the vassal. All week long, I'd be vaseline all over the place. But when I come here, I'm Lord. Now, you get it all week long. You get to be Lord all week long. You get to call me anytime you want. Do I call you anytime you want and expect you to drop what you're doing and come to do what I want you to do? No, but you do. Now, if you can expect me to do it 5 days out of the week, why do you have such a problem with 2 days out of the week for the reverse? Selfish, greedy, self-centered, mama's boy, that's why. I know what it's like to be a vassal. That's why I know what it's like to be a lord. I've learned to be a human. I've understood you cannot be human if you think you're always the boss. There's places where you are the lord and there's places where you're the vassal. You got to learn the difference, my friend. Now, for the rest of you that walk around with a cross nailed to your back, see, I can see being nailed to the cross, but I do not understand having a cross nailed to you. That doesn't make any sense to me at all. And those are these super spiritual people that want to be vassals all the time. See, they always want to be, I don't know, I can't help it, what am I going to do, boo-hoo-hoo. Don't give me that routine. There are situations where you need to be the Lord. I don't care if you live home alone, Mom. You're Lord if you got children. Don't give me that wimpy routine. I'm not into hamburgers. You're the Lord. Take care of your business. But then don't try to be Lord when you come around me on Sunday or Wednesday. Don't try that, because that's not going to work. But I'll tell you what, the rest of the week, it's the other way around. You ask me, and if I've got it and I can do it, you've got it. God knows that. And I don't have to dump any gravy on my back. All you have to do is just look at my situation. Look at the blessing. What, would God give me that if this wasn't true? All you got to do is open your baby blues, man, and you'll see. Or your washed out browns, whatever you got. That's why I wear these brown contacts, by the way. I don't want to give away any trade secrets here. Well, now, have we made you all human? You understand that you're not a human? Now, to have this power, you obviously first have to be a human. You must be rational. You must understand you're fallible, and you must understand what homage means. You need to understand what this Lord-vassal relationship and how it fluctuates. You go to work, some of you are lords and some of you are vassals. The problem is, some of you try to be Lord when you should be a vassal, and vice versa, vassal. That's no good. You got to understand, you have your time and place to be Lord. Don't be sitting in my spot, and I won't go in yours. I have no desire to go do your work. I also have no ability to do your work. I wish you were as smart as I am. You have no ability to do my work. Why you have the desire is beyond me. You totally lack the ability. I'm at least smart enough to know I don't have the ability to do what you do. So I say, I don't want to do that. I'm not into making myself look like a fool. You try to do something you don't have the ability for, and you might as well put on the shoes with the bells on, man. Lord, thank you. He's not mad at us, see? See, so now, in order to have this power, you must first be a human. Well, now, we still got a slight problem, because you must be a human being. Now, you are either, now, you got to, here's where it gets a little touchy. You got to stay with me now. There's only three possible human-ings you can be. You can be a human being, a human was-ing, or a human willing. Now, even if you become a human, you must be a human being, not a human was-ing, or a human willing, a human being. Now, I'm going to show you now, even if you develop rationality, even if you develop fallibility, even if you get this vassal-lord relationship right, you are now a human. Now comes the critical part. You must be a human being. Now, let me tell you what that means. Being comes from the word be. Wow. I don't know how this come. Must have come through the ceiling or something. Being comes from the word be. Well, being means one who lives or exists. That's a being. Now, be means one who remains or continues in the present. So to be a being, you must remain, continue, live, and exist in the present. That's a being. One who lives, exists, remains, continues in the present. Now, understand this now. If you are a human, if you've understood everything I've said, Satan's still got one more trick. He'll delude you into not being a being, one who lives, exists, remains, and continues in the present. That's why I'm always telling you, you have to go back to the past. We have to undig the graveyard living that you have, get those bones, and get rid of them suckers, because you've been a human wuzzing. Got to be a human being, one who lives in the present, one who exists in the present. Now, when you act like you did as a child and react to things as you did as a child, and you want your husband to be like your mother or your dad, or you want your wife to be like your mother or your dad, you're not a human being. You're a human wuzzing. Now, what does was mean? It's was is the past tense. We want to talk, we want to counsel about your past, and you don't want to be a human being. You want to stay a human wuzzing. And you see, now you're, this power was given to human beings. So close, and yet so far. You would rather live, exist, remain, and continue in the past. I can't get to you to make you understand that you live here in the present as a being. You have power to deal with those things in the present. But as long as you hide them and you go to them in the past, they're going to kill you. I'm telling you, bring them suckers to the present where Jesus is, and they die. Because the light, the sun, the S-U-N, and the S-O-N are in today. You'll never find the sun in yesterday or tomorrow, the S-U-N. Well, you'll never find the S-O-N, the Son Jesus Christ, in yesterday or tomorrow. Well, if you can't find that S-O-N in yesterday or tomorrow, you ain't going to find this one either. See, because that would make me a human wuzzing then. Someone who's past-oriented. Someone who doesn't relate with the present. Someone who hears something present, doesn't know what to do with it. Say, no, it's not me. It's not, can't be me. Why isn't it you? Well, because you're living in the past. See, in a perverted way, you're telling the truth. It isn't you that's doing this. Because you're not here. Sometimes you give me that look and you're not. You're somewhere else, and I know where you're at. You're in the past. You're a human wuzzing. You live, exist, remain, and continue in the past. Now you've lost your status as a human being. You are now a human wuzzing. Well, we got one more. You can also be a human willing. Now, will is the future tense of be. In other words, will is used to express futurity. Now, was expresses or is the past tense of be. Will is the future tense, if you will, of be. It means futurity. And futurity just means the future. It means a future condition or a future event. Now, these are people that are saying, Jesus loves me, this I know, and it's going to get better someday. Well, Jesus loved you for a long time, and you've known it ain't got better yet, has it? How can you be so dumb? See, your mind is here, and your brain is floating out somewhere in the future, disconnected. For the rest of you, you're in the past. Is it any wonder sometimes I talk and I talk, and I says, man, it's been nice talking to me. I really learned a lot. Ruby, even when you're alone, you got it. Boy, these counseling sessions sometimes, it's just nice to see you again, Ruby. I mean, this person just wasn't there. Now, they're in the hands. They're either in yesterday or tomorrow. See, they're in the future. It's a future condition or a future event. I'm trying to tell you, you have a problem on your hands right now, and you're banking on a future event. A future condition. Now, that means you're not a human being. That means your power that God gave you to use today might as well not be there. You've lost it. And there's no reason. It has nothing to do with your sin. It has nothing to do with your ignorance. It has nothing to do with only has one thing, the fact that you're not here. You're out to lunch. Now, some of you are eating lunch that's past. I don't know how you get nutrition out of that. And some of you are trying to live off the future. How can you do that? Think logically. If I would say to you tomorrow, you cannot eat anything, but you can re-eat what you ate today. You'd be mighty hungry tomorrow. There's no way to eat again what you ate today. At least no way that isn't despicable. And how can you eat today what you're going to eat tomorrow? You ain't got it yet. So you see, the individual who's stuck physically in the present,
but is trying to somehow make life livable by getting something from the past is really deprived. And the individual that's looking to the future when things are going to get better doesn't realize things don't get better. Things are better or they're not. They are or they are not. They don't get anything. The Bible says tomorrow will be as today, only much more. And I say, thank you, Lord. Man, tomorrow's going to be like today, but more? Praise God. And some of you say, oh, no. Tomorrow's going to be like today and more so? You got it. So you see, the only way you can change tomorrow is to do something about today. Don't think about tomorrow. There's sufficient for the evil thereof. Today is the day you got to deal with. So see, to be a human being, you must exist, live, remain, and continue in the present. We have to deal with things that are happening right now. We have to find out why they happened. But if you go back to relive that and bring that and say, well, I'm this way because of whatever, then you're a human wuzzing. If you say, I know that, but Jesus loves me and I'm growing, I'll get better, give me a break, give me a chance, God loves me, I got grace, then you're a human willing. One day, you're going to get better. When? What day? Tomorrow. Tomorrow never, never comes. You see how this works? Such a simple word. And lying in that word and what those words mean is a key that I don't know of any doctor, no psychologist, nobody that knows how they can unlock your mind to help you to understand why can't you deal with reality? Why is it that you can't just take what's in front of you, analyze it, dissect it, think it out logically, reason it, throw out what's bad, keep what's good, and deal with today? Why? Because you're not a human being. See, we've been lied to, folks. We've been lied to, I mean, talk about cheap rugs. Kohl's, I mean, I must have lived with Kohl's carpets. I mean, there was lying rugs all over my house. Not because they wanted to deceive me, they were as ignorant as I was. This isn't a question that we're trying to undo each other. We pass on what we have. Unfortunately, what we have is no good. So you have three choices. You can be a human being, a being who lives, exists, remains, continues in the present, a human wasing who lives, exists, remains, or continues in the past, or a human willing who lives, exists, remains, or continues in the future. Now, if you are a human being, you've got the power. If you are a human wasing, you've got the past weakness. If you are a human willing, you'll have the power someday. How much more of your life are you going to throw away and waste? You might as well go out and buy yourself some red slippers. Get yourself a little furry dog in a basket. And skip down. Find yourself a yellow brick road. And skip to my loo, my darling, and see if you can find the Wizard of Oz. Maybe along the way, some guy might pop out who's got hair coming out of his BVD, or straw coming out of his BVDs. A little slip of that. I'm going to have to get snow tires for my tongue. I slipped there a little bit. Chain something. See, these guys don't exist. You're going to find a tin man looking for a heart? Where are you going to find that? A lion? A guy with... Where are you going to find somebody like that? When's the last time you've seen a yellow brick road, by the way? An NTM? What's an NTM? See, that's all fantasy. That's stupidity. See, they want us to look somewhere and... And what happened when she finally found the wizard? He was an old, decrepit, phony fake, wasn't he? And she was told, the power's in you. I could have told you before you wore out your shoes there, girl. And we go through all these fantasies and we fight the wicked witch of the west and the one from the east and the one next door. I better watch what I say here. We're all starting to be neighbors. But in the final analysis, after she went through all her stupidity and we all ate three boxes of popcorn, drank four big gulps, they never told us anything we didn't know in the first place. It was all in her to begin with. And for all her wandering around, all she did was wear out. And maybe it was good because the shoes were ugly anyway. You know, it's such a simple task, one would think, to bring people into the present. You know why they don't like it? Because your reality stinks. That's why. Isn't it a shame when a Christian who could be a human being, who has the power granted by the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of Lords, who's saying, I want to use you as an example to attract other people to Christianity. And you want to be used of the Lord, but how can he use you? It is no accident that he's put you in a corner somewhere with all the doors closed where nobody can see you and says, don't admit you know me, please. Don't say that. I mean, you give the family a bad reputation. And I'm man enough to say, by the way, right now, I have people in my family, I'd rather that nobody knows that they're related to me. I'm sure the feeling is mutual, but for different reasons. But I don't care. That's a bad reputation. You're a preacher and that's your child? That's your sister? That's your whatever? And you're, well, yeah, what do I have to do with that? I just said, don't mention me in public, please. And I'll do you the same courtesy. I don't want us connected, see? Now, you know this as well as I do. If you've ever had, quote, a black sheep in your family, or if you were unfortunate enough to have someone who was mentally disabled or something was wrong, there was a stigma attached to it. We always hid them somewhere. We send them away to buildings, to put them away in warehouses, keep them. We're ashamed of them. Now, that's unfortunate, but that's a reality. Now, why do we put them out there? Because they give the family a bad name. Now, why do you think you don't have a position of authority, position of power? You're not highly visible in this world. And you're boxed up in a corner somewhere. You never get to go anywhere. It's no accident. Jesus said, man, I let you out. Somebody's, you're going to give the brotherhood a bad name. Stay home until we get this thing straightened out. And if you must go, don't tell anybody you know me. Can you imagine, does Jesus want somebody walking in? Oh, what a burden it is to be for the Lord. Oh, this is horrible. Would you like to be a Christian? You know, that's like, would you ever walk up to someone and say, oh, this is the worst car I've ever had. This thing is the worst automobile. It costs $8 million a week to maintain. Would you like to buy it? The guy would say, are you crazy? I wouldn't take that as a gift. How can you sell Christianity and make it attractive based on the way you live, the way you think, and the way you are? You couldn't give it away, my friend. And yet God wants to have you out there highly visible to show you this is what it is to be a Christian. This is what it's like to be a human being. Get out in that thing, Rube, ride it around and have people look and say, yeah, why'd that? The Lord gave me that. And this, and this, and this, and that. Well, how'd you do that? The Lord. How do you do that? The Lord. What? How come nothing ever makes you mad? The Lord. How come anything never makes you happy? The Lord. I say, well, aren't you happy? No, I'm just cool. I'm not up, I'm not down, I'm in the middle. Anything you let make you happy now has the power to make you sad. I don't want to live in the up, and I don't want to live in the down, and I don't want to live in the left, and I don't want to live in the right. Bullseye. I don't want to miss the mark. The mark is in the middle. Understand that. Miss the mark, and you don't share in the prize. Now, all you have... I'm going to stop this. All you have to do is look at a bullseye, a target, and you will see that in the middle is always where the prize is. You hit the middle, and they give you a teddy bear that costs 35 cents that you just paid $35 for. Because you want to be cool to this person that's with you that you're going to marry, and then you're going to kick her out of bed later on, tell her how horrible she is. But now you're willing to pay $35 for a 35-cent teddy bear. But you see, you need to hit the mark, or they give you diddly, do they? They say, this guy's a spastic, man. He could hit the barn. Do you ever go to the carnival, and the guy gives you the dart and says, wait a minute, he goes... That's what I'd ask. Lord, if you're going to give that person some darts, let me get out of their range. You see, if you don't hit the mark, there is no prize. Now understand, If you're high, no prize. If you're low, no prize. If you're to the left in the past, no prize. If you're to the right in the future, no prize. You must hit the mark. Now, the mark is in the middle. It's not high, it's not low, it's not left, and it's not right. It's right smack dab in the middle. No excitement, no depression, no past thinking, no future thinking. Right now, today, bullseye. Don't miss the mark, or you won't share in the prize. You must be a human being, or you're not going to get this. You thought you had to be good. You thought you had to study. You thought you had to stop this and start that. All you got to do is be a human being, and then those things will happen. But you're not going to have those things happen until you're a human being. Rational, fallible, with homage. Some places you're Lord, some places you're vassal. Know the difference and thank God for it. And then when you got that down, for God's sake, be a human being. Get out of that past mentality or that future little Alice in Wonderland kind of thinking. That's not going to do it, my friend. We got to live in the middle or you're going to not live. You're going to miss the mark. Brother Bob, would you close the services in prayer?